Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we discuss the relentless pursuit of ROI. Yes, that's right, return on investment and return on inflation. We have a changing future with monetary policy and fiscal policy the way it is, and we need to prepare for it as investors by structuring our transactions differently, and we will talk about that on this episode and future episodes, of course. So we will be back with a fantastic interview for you and a guest today in just less than 60 seconds. Stay tuned.
Jason provides an extremely unique service, Deal Evaluator. Are you interested in a property outside of our network? Need a second opinion? No problem. Let our experts evaluate the deal. Find out more about it at jasonhartman.com. The price is only $50.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Creating Wealth. This is Jason Hartman. Glad to have you with us today. We are going to talk about a very exciting topic today. We are going to talk to you about an event coming up, and I want you to join me for it. It is not our event, and we have never, ever, ever promoted someone else's event. So this is the first time, and it's because I have a lot of confidence in this guest who you are about to hear from and this event coming up, and I'm going to be there, and I want you to join me there as well. So we'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, I just thought I'd tell you about some of the other great shows we have coming up. Today we're going to talk about mobile home park investing and also mobile home investing. And so you can do this as a big investor, as a small investor, and it's just pretty darn exciting, really. I've been very interested for many years, and I'm glad to have this show to present to you on that very subject. So, before we get into that, upcoming shows, our next show will be show number 100, and remember, on every 10th show, we do sort of a non-investing topic, and I'm interviewing a guy who is a great guest. His name is Jeff Myers, and we're going to talk to him about passing the baton, about leadership, about building a legacy, and I think you'll find that one very interesting. So that'll be coming up, show number 100. And then on show number 101, we're going to be talking to Joel Grassmeyer about the new iPhone application for Property Tracker and tracking and managing your investments in general as well. Our next show will be on The Wealthy Bag Lady, where we will talk to Linda Hollander about how people can create success from nothing, kind of a rags-to-riches story. And then we'll have Andre Eglish on to talk about his book, Thieves in the Temple, which is about the nearly 100-year scam that is being perpetrated on America and on really humanity in general, because it applies to almost every country on earth. And then we will talk about self-storage investing, if you're interested in self-storage investing, another one I'm very interested in. That's coming up on a show real soon. And then we will have Happy Real Estate with Leon D'Anconia, and then John Malden, who is a very famous financial writer. He'll be on the show as well. So we've got a lot of great stuff coming up, and keep listening in. Now, what is this show about? This is a fairly long show, so I don't have time to do listener questions. I will get to those, I promise you. I know I have a bunch of unanswered questions that we need to get to. But on this show and on the event coming up, the boot camp our speaker is going to present to us, we will talk about how to find and evaluate mobile homes Remember, you can invest in these as a very small investor and develop real nice cash flow from them, but you can also invest in them as a mobile home park investor and scale it up very, very big. We'll talk about how to evaluate mobile homes and mobile home parks. We'll talk about how to perform and complete due diligence, what entity structure is the best to use, how to lock up a good deal, how to buy and refurbish repossessed mobile homes, how to assemble and manage a rehab crew, how to develop an effective management team, how to market and advertise and fill your park, how to create the ideal mobile home park environment, and how to get top dollar when you sell your mobile homes or when you sell your mobile home parks. Remember, I said big or small. This applies to all investors. So you listening, you're not too big, you're not too small for this, because you can really work on either side of the scale here. And this event that we'll talk to you about at the end of the show is coming up in San Angelo, Texas, which is outside of Dallas. I will be there myself. It's in mid-June, and I hope you join me for it. Again, this is not my event. We've never promoted anybody else's event, but this one I really like, and it's the first time I've promoted anybody else's event, so you know I must have some real faith in it. Let's go to the interview with my friend Corey, who is going to talk about mobile home park investing. Oh, and one more thing. We are finally, it's been a long time, finally launching our new show called Holistic Survival. So if you're interested in picking up another great show, you can go to holisticsurvival.com, and you'll also be able to find the show on iTunes, and I think you'll like it very much. And the thing we've been waiting for, we've already done several interviews on this show, but we've been waiting because we had to develop the first show. And the first show is on none other than the core content, the Ten Commandments of Holistic Survival. Oh, and by the way, on Creating Wealth, we've got Addison Wiggin coming up, Thomas Woods, who wrote the book Meltdown, a lot of great stuff that I didn't even mention before. But enough said, let's go to the interview with Corey, and let's learn about how we can make millions investing in mobile homes and mobile home parks. Here is the interview. Let's listen in. It's my pleasure to welcome my good friend Corey to the show. He is an expert on mobile home park and self-storage investing. Welcome, Corey.
Why, thank you, Jason.
It's great to have you here. You know, what you have accomplished in this field is really impressive, and you've just done a great job at it. I think the first question most people have when they think about this is they think it's for the big wigs, the big players, the people that are like on the verge of being institutional investors that have a lot of money to start out with. Can someone start on a shoestring budget in the mobile home park world and make money?
Definitely. First is they could buy a mobile home that's existing in a mobile home park and buy it wholesale and then go ahead and sell it retail.
So what you're saying here is not actually buy the park. This is a way to maybe work your way into the business of owning the real estate. At first, you just buy the mobile home.
Definitely. And so you'd be taking baby steps.
Okay.
So basically what would happen is you would buy maybe a 1970s mobile home for a couple $1,000s and then go ahead and sell it on like almost like a rent-to-own kind of program, and then buy a second one and buy a third one and keep going, and then you could buy a mobile home park. And then there's other people that want to jump right into the mobile home park. And they go ahead and they buy a mobile home park, and there's two different ways you can do that. The first would be buy conventionally, where you're going to get a bank loan and, you know, maybe 10, 20, 25% down. And then basically what you at that point is you just get financing. And then the other way is you could go ahead and you get seller financing. And that's right now, which is so great about mobile home parks at this point, is that you're able to go ahead and you're able to get seller financing because that the mortgage markets are so tight at this point.
Okay, so the seller financing is really the way to go because the contraction in the lending industry has hit the mobile home park business too, huh?
Definitely.
Really? Okay.
Definitely.
So you have a special name, which I think is really cool. You call these Lonnie deals. Before we totally leave the subject of not owning real estate,
okay,
we're just talking about mobile homes.
Definitely.
Right? Tell us about a Lonnie deal. I mean, you already touched on it, but is there anything more to know?
The Lonnie deal is termed for Lonnie Scruggs. And back about 25 years ago, he wrote a book called Deals on Wheels. and it's an amazing book. It's probably one of the top 10 real estate books out there. And the premise is very, very easy. It's basically buy a mobile home, an existing mobile home park, maybe in 1970 or 1980 is what he likes, and then go ahead and you sell it on terms. So for example, what you would do is you would go ahead and you buy, like say for example, he likes a 1982 12x60. You purchase that for $6,000.
That's a feet.
That's a feet. So it's a 12-foot by 60-foot home.
All right.
It's typical for, say, 1980s product.
Okay.
He would buy that for about $6,000. Maybe what he does, he buys it on an installment sale from the seller, or he could pay it cash. At that point, he turns around and he sells it for $12,000. He sells it for a $1,000 down payment, and then he amortizes the rest with maybe a 13 to 15% interest rate and creates a cash flow, which is absolutely amazing. What he's done is over the last 20 years, he's been able to buy these homes, buy them wholesale, sell them retail, and create these cash flows that have produced enormous income for him.
Okay, so that's the Lonnie deal in a nutshell, basically. One of the things you do, I believe, is you provide contracts and documents for this at your boot camp.
Definitely.
When you're looking at the mobile home park world and investing in these, what are the four major profit centers?
Okay, great question. Before I answer that, who do you think is one of the smartest investors out there?
The name that most people would bring to mind is, you know, Donald Trump or Warren Buffett or something like that.
Well, Warren Buffett, do you think Warren Buffett ever got into the mobile home park business at all?
Not that I know of.
He bought a company called Clayton. They own mobile home parks. They own manufacturing. They own the financing piece of it. They own all of that. He basically bought this, and he's invested over $7 billion into the mobile home park industry. Nobody would ever think that Warren Buffett is part of the mobile home park industry, because most people think of, when they think of mobile homes and mobile home parks, you think of Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You think of cheesy and sleazy, right?
Yeah, think of, it's got a connotation to it, but he's invested over $7 billion into the mobile home park industry. It's amazing.
Yeah, to make it more institutionalized. Okay, well, tell us about these four profit centers.
Okay, the first profit center is lot rent.
Okay.
Now,
I don't know the rent of the actual pad.
Okay. I don't know anything better than renting dusty old dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no maintenance to it. There's nothing. It's incredible. And so basically the first profit center would be the lot rent. And increasing rents basically has very little turnover. So for example, I bought a mobile home park in San Angelo, Texas called Riverbend Estates. The rents were $135 and market rent was $175. It was 161 spaces. How many people do you think moved when we moved the rent from $135 to $175 over an 18-month period?
I'm going to say not many, because it's rather difficult for them to move, isn't it?
Definitely. Because what happens is you have lifelong customers. It costs over $3,000 in order to move a single wide and over $5,000 to move a double wide.
Right. And in a lot of areas, there's not really that many choices of places to move to, whereas if you're renting an apartment, there are a lot of choices.
Definitely.
Usually in most communities, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, okay.
So it's pretty amazing. And really with the profit center of the lot rent, each space that you rent goes right to the profitability. So say, for example, you have a mobile home park, and the mobile home park is 50% occupied. As you keep increasing the occupancy of those spaces, that goes to profitability because your expenses are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have really any incremental expenses by renting another space or bringing a mobile home into that mobile home park.
Are there situations where you might buy a park, it has a certain number of spaces, and then you can go and put more spaces there, like go to the city and get permits for more spaces on the same amount of land?
Yeah, you can do that. The challenge a lot of times is that, you know, just bureaucracy, and also with the cost of putting the pads in, putting the infrastructure in. And a lot of times what happens...
Well, that's a lot cheaper than building another house or apartment.
It is, right? But what I would do, I would just go buy another mobile home park at that point.
Okay.
In order to do that. Because the other thing is that sometimes they'll make you upgrade the whole mobile home park when you want to add 10, 15 spaces,
mm-hmm.
where the current would be grandfathered, whatever that is at that point.
Right, right. A lot of reasons like people do that, and you see these old tacky bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason they can't fix them, because it kicks in all the retroactive ADA laws, and so that makes for a really junky environment in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay.
And then the second profit center would be buy wholesale, sell retail. Now, I know you love buying wholesale and selling retail,
sure.
Like any investor out there. And what you're doing is you're buying homes from the bank or even from other mobile home park owners or mobile homeowners. So, for example, in Texas, we're buying, say, 1995 to 2000 product, a single wide, maybe 16 by 80 where nobody would sell for $20,000. We're buying it for about $8,000, moving it and having about $10,000 into it.
Okay, but how are you buying it cheap? I mean, why doesn't, if it's such a great deal,
sure.
You know, the obvious question is, why doesn't someone else buy it before you? Do you find that deal?
We actually buy a lot through the banks right now.
Okay.
Because the mobile home park industry went into the doldrums about 5 years before the stick-built market did.
Okay.
And now the mobile home park industry is coming out of the doldrums where the stick-built market is, you know, halfway, you know, into
it's kind of halfway
point.
In the middle of it. Yeah. So how do you find bank-owned mobile homes?
You know, at this point, there's about four or five large banks. One that's owned by Clayton, which is called Vanderbilt. There's also Greentree Conseco.
Okay.
And then there's several small ones like Bank America that owns a small portfolio, and they give out lists every single month.
Okay, so you just like go to their website or something?
You go to the website, and then you bid on the homes.
Okay.
So it works out pretty well. And then also you'll find other times where mobile home parks will be shutting down in order to go ahead and redevelop for commercial building, almost like what happened in Costa Mesa. We have some valuable land, and those people need to move out those mobile homes, and you can buy them very inexpensively.
Yeah, you're talking about the one on Newport Boulevard where they
Definitely.
Built a new medical building.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Okay.
And
All
then
right.
the third one would be becoming the banker. This is what Warren Buffett loves the best.
This is the third profit center.
This is the third profit center. So basically what you're doing is you're buying a home for $10,000, you're going ahead and selling it for $20,000, and you're putting about anywhere between 12 to 15% interest rate on the money.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in addition, you're able to rent up the space that was vacant, that was not producing an income. You're renting up that space where it all goes profitability.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the combination of those three profit centers, just it produces you enormous cash flow, enormous equity.
Yeah, it seems though when you become the banker, does that get a little complicated? I mean, there's a lot to manage there, isn't there? You own the park, so you're managing renting spaces.
Okay.
Then you own the mobile home that you had to go buy and source somewhere.
Yeah.
Would it have been already there, or are you always moving it on to that?
Sometimes they're already there, and basically it's a repo in your own park. But a lot of times you're buying a mobile home that's outside the park and bringing it in.
And how much does that cost?
Roughly probably costs about $2,000 in order to move a single wide to break down, transport, and set up.
Okay, and it depends how far you're moving it.
Yeah, usually we're doing within 250 miles to do that. But see, what happens is that you can get a person, like in Texas, we have one person that buys all our mobile homes for us. We give them $500 per home, and they go out and they look at the home, and then they deal with the bank, and then they line up the transportation, all that, so we don't have to do anything whatsoever.
Oh, that's great.
So it works out really well.
Okay, all right, good. What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is the big one. Like the first three are huge cash flows and also produce equity. The fourth
and just review the first three as bullet points.
Sure.
If you would.
First one would be lot rent.
Okay.
The second would be a buy wholesale, sell retail.
Okay. And that's talking about just buying
the home itself,
yeah. Not the real estate.
Not the real estate. And then the third would be the financing.
Okay.
And
becoming the banker.
And then all that produces the fourth, which is basically it's a retirement. It's a huge nest egg at the end of the day. So, for example, each vacant lot that you rent up, it goes right to profitability. And say that space rents for $200 a month, which would be $2,400 a year. Based upon a 10 cap rate, that space when you rent up is worth $24,000. So say, for example, if I bring in 10 homes and I rent up those 10 spaces, if I bring my home in and then sell it on terms, I've just increased my property, my mobile home park, by $250,000.
Because when you bought it, those weren't rented.
They were not rented.
Right.
Okay. Now they are rented, and that $200 goes right to profitability because you don't have any additional expenses because of that. So you bring in 40 homes, you've increased $1 million of equity.
Okay, so every real estate investor who's been kind of following this type of thing, this investing game, they read maybe one of Donald Trump's books, and it's all about adding value.
Yeah.
The obvious question is, you know, you need to source the mismanaged, poorly operated park out there now. It just sort of begs the question, why isn't the guy who already owns it, why doesn't he see that? Or why can't he fix that problem? Are there times when the problem maybe isn't fixable so that you can't add value like that? Like you see a park that's got 25% of the spaces are vacant.
Yeah.
I mean, why isn't the guy who owns it already fixing it?
A couple of reasons. One is that they might not have the knowledge or the financial resources in order to be able to bring homes in and rent it up.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's a lot easier to rent a home and a pad at the same time, really you're selling the home and becoming the banker.
Correct.
And renting the pad.
Correct.
Than it is to say, hey, here's a pad, bring in your own mobile home.
Because the challenge is that in the last couple of years, financing on mobile homes in a mobile home park is almost non-existent.
For the consumer.
For the consumer.
Okay, so you've got to be the banker as the owner of the park.
Correct. Or you have to convince other people to bring their mobile homes in as investors and set them up and then sell them on like a rent-to-own kind of program.
So those would be Lonnie investors.
That would be Lonnie investors,
correct. So other people that are doing Lonnie deals
might
fill your park for you.
Definitely.
How do you find those people?
They're pretty frequent out there. They could go to like, you know, Mobile Home University forum. Like we have a forum on ours where we have probably 200 people a day that come just on that forum and they talk between themselves.
Okay.
There's other ones out there as well
who
do that. If I was going to buy a park today and everything that I know about mobile home parks, what I would do is I would buy a park on a lease option, meaning that I'm leasing it from the person for a net of whatever it is today. So say it's 50% occupied, I'm leasing it for the net. And then I have an option on it for next 5 or 10 years so that I'll be able to take advantage of that equity, you know, of all the growth that I'm doing. And why I would do a lease option is you have very little risk and you have a lot of reward. You're not putting down 20, 25%. You're not trying to get a bank loan, which makes it very difficult in, you know, in this lending times. Then what I would do is I would go out and I would buy maybe 10 or 20 copies of Lonnie Scruggs' Deals on Wheels book. And I would give that out to all my colleagues, my friends, my family, and say, hey, you know what? If you'd like to do a Lonnie deal in my park, and I'll take a 5 or 8 or 10% management fee to do that, and people would ask, why would you do that? Simple is the real money is made in the dirt, not in the mobile home.
Right, right. But the mobile home is a decent way to get started if
it's
you need
a decent
to sort
way.
Of parlay up
yeah,
to
it's
a bigger thing.
Oh, it's a decent way, and also if you want to create cash flow. So, for example, like Fred Balk, who a lot of people know on our website, Fred was working at Costco, and he's roughly about 55 years old. His wife had lupus. So he determined that, you know, there's no job security at Costco. So what he wanted to do is he wanted to replicate what his income was, and it was roughly about $3,500 a month. He went out and he bought one mobile home in a park as a Lonnie deal. He went and bought a second one, bought a third one. What he did was he incentivized the park manager to go ahead and find him mobile homes in that park. He paid her, and then he paid her to sell them to people. He actually ended up having over 45 Lonnie deals, and he created an income cash flow of over $9,000 a month. And he did that in less than 24 months.
You know, and for most people listening, I mean, that's not like making it to the big time, but in today's economy, Corey, $9,000 a month passive income, you're riding high compared to what's going on with everybody getting laid off out there and the total lack of job security and, you know, their jobs getting sent over to India and China, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So there's many different levels that you can take this.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to, I know, several people that are making over $1 million of cash flow every single month. Now, they're on a completely different level, but you can go anywhere in between with the mobile home parks. The biggest thing that why I love mobile home parks and also mobile homes to a degree as well is that it's all about numbers. If I had a fourplex and I go up $10 a month, you know, on a rent increase, that's, you know, roughly $480 a year rent increase that I made from the previous year. That's great, but it's not exciting. But if I go up a $10 rent increase, say, for example, my park that I have at Riverbend Estates down in San Angelo, Texas, 161 spaces, I go up $10 rent increase, that equates to $193,200 of equity that I've built in that mobile home park.
And what do you do with that equity, though? Is it really equity you can realize, or is it just something you sort of see and it's all on paper? How do you really take advantage of
it? To take advantage of it, two different ways. Is that with the equity piece of it, I realize the increased cash flow. With the equity piece of it, if I'm able to refinance out, or maybe I'm buying another property and I'm able to put a second on there, I'm able to, instead of giving the person, giving the owner some additional, you know, cash, I can say, hey, I'll put a second on my property because I have a lot of equity built into it. So there's different ways you could do that. What I do with Riverbend, when I do most of my properties, you know, back before the lending got very tight, I would go in there and I would increase cash flow by increasing rents. I would also increase occupancy, and then I would refinance it out, refinance all my money out where I have nothing left in that deal, and that's where I'm able to make the cash flow. And some of these parks, you know, I cash flow about $20,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put some work into it, you know, increase the rents and increase the occupancy, but $20,000 a month passive income is not a bad position to be in.
Not at all. And how long ago did you buy your first park?
First park was bought back in 2004.
really 4 years and a few months ago, depending on what time of year you bought.
Definitely. And the only reason, and it's funny, the only reason why I got into mobile home parks and self-storage was I found that I had a very large portfolio of real estate of single families and duplex and fourplexes and some apartment buildings. And in 2004, I could see the writing on the wall in the California market, and I needed to get that money out of California to be able to protect my equity. And I always heard mobile home parks are huge cash cows. And I learned from the very best out there, which was Ernest Tu. And subsequently, you know, he's had a stroke and he no longer is in the business anymore. But he taught me about mobile home parks and he showed me how they were such large cash cows. You just have to have the education in order to be able to do that, in order to understand the profit centers, in order to understand what to do and how to put it all together.
Hey, back to the idea of buying a park on a lease option.
Sure.
That's a great idea. It sounds great when you say that. But the hard part, I'm assuming, is going to be finding the seller or the current owner of that park who's willing to do a lease option with you, and not only have that, but at the same time have all the other fundamentals of the park being right. Is it the right property in the first place? It might be the great terms, but the wrong property, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's going to be important to do your homework. I mean, you've hit it right on the head, is that there's over 40,000 mobile home parks out there. Large ones
in the United States.
In the United States, okay. Of the large ones, so, you know, over 50 spaces. And there's going to be some parks that aren't going to be worth it. Say, for example, something in Michigan right now by the auto plants, that might not be the best source of a mobile home park. One of the great things also is about mobile home parks is most of them are mom and pop owned. They're not owned by large corporations. So you're not dealing with a sophisticated investor.
A sophisticated seller. So it's
or a sophisticated seller.
But I mean, that's becoming more that way, though. I mean, as more and more people hear about this, are the deals picked over? You know, it sort
no,
of
they
begs
aren't.
The question.
It's amazing. You know, I hope Jerry Springer stays on for a long time. Because the connotation.
Poor Jerry, <yeah.
laughs> because the connotation, or Cops. You know, those shows give a connotation to mobile home park. I mean, for example, most people don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, Jason, I want to buy a mobile home or a mobile home park today. Because if you told your...
They want to buy a high-rise in Manhattan like Donald
definitely.
Trump, right? With
yeah.
glass and
oh.
steel and
or
shiny.
Even self-storage is very right. sexy. But mobile homes and mobile home parks are not sexy. People will have thought you lost your mind
mm-hmm.
by doing that. And so the way people usually get into mobile homes and mobile home parks, they get into it because they know something that's making a lot of money, that's doing very, very well.
Okay.
And so you don't have a lot of competition that way. And also, everybody seems to help everybody else in the mobile home park industry. You don't have the cutthroat that you do in the single-family investing market.
Yeah, but that cutthroat in the single-family investing market has kind of, you know,
petered out some. Yeah.
Because you know, the national media is so negative, yet there are still really good local markets. It just
yeah.
depends where.
But... It was vicious there for a couple of years.
Oh, it sure was. Yeah, it was crazy back in up to 2005,
yeah.
I'd say.
And then just to answer your question more about why would somebody do it, you'll find that a lot of people – had some great times in mobile home parks. They're 100% full, and then over the last 5 to 8 years, homes have been coming out because they've been getting repoed. These people either don't have the wherewithal knowledge-wise or financial-wise in order to do anything about the mobile home park. So say, for example, they're managing and they're actively managing the mobile home park and they're making $2,000 a month. If you came along and you said, hey, you know what I'll do is I will go ahead and I'll lease option this park from you. I will give you what your net is today, $2,000. And all I want is an option, you know, in the future in order to buy this park. That would be a pretty good deal for somebody, for a seller that said, hey, I'm making $2,000 a month right now, you know, cash flow, but it's up and down with regards to mobile home park. If I can have a guaranteed $2,000 a month and not have the daily management headaches, you know, a lot of sellers will jump for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's very little financing in any of the commercial out there. So sellers don't have an option of saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do seller financing. They don't have the option. Like a year, two, 3 years ago, they
did. They could turn it down.
They could turn it down. Yeah. They could get conventional finance is not there.
But none of the buyers can find the financing. Tell us about that deal, like that hypothetical deal you said where they're making $2,000 a month. I mean, what size deal is that? Like how much is that park in that example? How much might it be?
Say if it's a park, $800,000 to $1 million.
Okay.
It's 120 spaces.
All right.
And say it's 50% occupied.
Okay.
And
now really it's going to be 50% occupied.
It could be anywhere between 30% to 90% occupied. But say this one is 50% occupied.
Okay.
So they have fixed costs right now. So if I stumbled upon it and this person was making a net $2,000, having to actively manage 50% of the spaces and only making $2,000, this person's probably pretty burnt out at that point.
Right.
So I would come along and say, you know, this is what I'd like to do. I can't give you a huge down payment and all that because I need to bring mobile homes in or make this park better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lease option it from you. I'll give you what your net is today. You don't have to worry about management of this park daily, weekly, monthly. It's a fixed income that you're getting every single month. It's a huge win for you. The money that I'm putting into the mobile home park with buying mobile homes and, you know, maybe infrastructure repairs or anything else will only make your park more valuable. So even if I walk away from it 2 or 3 or 5 years from now,
you're still better off.
You're still better off.
Yeah. You can take your homes with you, though.
Yeah.
But it's going to cost you money, and they know that.
Cost you
so
money.
You're
Correct.
Not likely to walk
Correct.
Away, right?
And also, maybe you tell a seller, say, hey, what I'll do is I'll give you 25% of the upside,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take 75%.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways you can do seller financing.
Yeah. Okay. So seller financing or lease option is what you're saying.
Yeah. And really, lease option is just disguised 0% seller financing.
Yeah, right, right. Well, depending on the price. The option price, the exercise price, yeah. And any thoughts on setting that price? So if you option it, how long would be sort of a typical option period?
I would go definitely minimum 5 years. I would go for 10.
I mean, most of these sellers are older people, aren't they? Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Probably, you know, it's all over the board, to be honest with you.
The reason I mentioned that is the older they are, the less likely they're going to want to do anything long term.
Yeah, somewhat like that, but I think 10 years is okay. The other thing is the mobile home park industry, it comes in cycles. And what happens is you have the repos, there's no financing in the mobile homes, and then 5 to 7 years later, all of a sudden, you know, all these lenders get into the mobile home park industry, they lend, the parks get completely full, and then 5 to 7 years again, you know, you have all the repos. So it's a constant cycle. 5 to 7 years from now, you might not even need to bring mobile homes in yourself. These dealerships will be filling your park for you. And that's what happened back in the late 90s.
It just seems like a lot of sellers are going to object to a long lease option like that that's 5, 7, 10 years, especially, you know.
You'd be surprised with people that there's no financing out there. They're managing a park day to day, and they're tired of managing.
Right.
And that you're finding it's more commonplace. I'm finding seller financing is much more commonplace today than conventional finance in the mobile home park industry.
Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
You know, Penny, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Rich. Jason actually has a 6-book set on creating wealth that comes with over 100 hours of the most comprehensive ideas on investing in business. They're in high-quality digital download audio format, ready for your car, iPod, or wherever you want to learn.
Yes, and by the way, he's recently added another book to the series that shows you investing the way it should be. This is a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Jason actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets that are untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches us how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
He's recorded interviews with Harry Dent, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Buchanan, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Dennis Waitley, T. Harv Eker, and so many others who are experts on the economy, on real estate, and on creating wealth.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered with a savings of $385.
Now, to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series complete with over 100 hours of audio and 6 books, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you.
So I want to talk a little bit about analyzing a park.
Okay.
All right. What is the difference between turnkey and turnaround?
Turnkey is a park that is 80% occupied or greater. And then turnaround is anything less than 80%. Now, is that something written in stone? No, but it's sort of a guideline that I go with. And a turnkey is great because what happens is that you could just bring in maybe one or two mobile homes in a month, or maybe one mobile home in a month. And over a 2-year period is that you have a park that's full. And it's cash flowing, it's making a lot of money right from the get-go. Turnaround park, say it's 30 or 40% occupied, you're still going to have those fixed expenses, whether it's 30% or 80%. So you might be underwater, so you might have to bring in 2 or 3 mobile homes every month in order to get that occupancy up to maybe 60, 70% where it's cash flowing.
Okay, so what's the better opportunity?
The better opportunity, what I would say, is that if somebody has a lot of family commitments, work commitments, all that, I would look at a turnkey mobile home park, one that's going to require minimal activity, and that's what's going to be more important. But say, for example, like my brother's 30 years old, he wants to create some enormous equity and cash flow. I would tell him to find a turnaround mobile home park that's maybe 40-50% full. He goes in there, uses knowledge to build up that mobile home park, the equity and cash flow. I mean, he could be set for life just with one mobile home park. So it depends upon how much energy you have and how much time you want to put into that mobile home park and also proximity to the mobile home park. Turning around a park 3,000 miles away is not something I would recommend. But a turnkey mobile home park, say if you're in California and you're buying one in South Carolina, it's turnkey, there's really not a lot of moving pieces at that point.
Right. That's pretty simple. A lot of times the owners live in the park.
Some.
Yeah.
Actually, I find not many owners live in the mobile home
parks. Oh, okay. They're rich.
Yeah.
They don't have to live in their mobile home park. They're the investor,
but sometimes right. The manager lives in the mobile
yeah.
home park.
So do you keep that same manager usually? If it's turnkey, you might, yeah. I assume you're going to say.
Yeah.
And then if it's a turnaround, you get rid of the guy.
If it's a turnaround, it probably one of the reasons it is a turnaround is because of the manager.
Yeah. Take us through like a typical deal, if you would, Corey. When you say a turnkey park, I mean, that's what every investor wants, right? So looking for a turnkey park where you're also going to get the seller to do the terms you want.
Yeah.
And everything's great. I mean, that's going to be a hot commodity, isn't it?
It isn't, because with investors at this point, a lot of investors are a little gun shy at this point.
Everybody listening, that's exactly what I'm telling all of you all the time. Not specifically, but I'm going to say it specifically now. Two great billionaires, J. Paul Getty and Warren Buffett. Buy when everybody's selling, sell when everybody's buying. That's Getty. And Buffett said, be greedy when everyone is fearful, be fearful when everyone is greedy. If you're buying little residential single-family houses, if you're buying fourplexes, apartment buildings, mobile home parks, whatever it is, you want to be on the right side of that equation.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're telling them, aren't you, Corey?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is an opportune time.
This is the opportunity. Yeah, right.
Buying a mobile home park today is an opportune time, and for a number of reasons. One is there's very limited financing out there conventionally. So it forces the seller to do seller financing and give some incredible terms in order to sell the park to somebody.
And it's also lessened the number of investors looking for deals.
It's lessened the number of investors looking for deals. And then thirdly, there's still repossessed homes out there that the banks have. It's starting to get less and less. I mean, there was a glut of these mobile homes back in early 2000. Today, they're getting less and less. Given another 18, 24 months, there's not going to be any more bank repoed homes to the level that we've seen in the past. Homes are going to be getting more and more expensive, those repossessed homes. People are going to have to start buying brand new. Brand new could cost you $25,000, where I'm buying homes for $8,000 to $10,000.
What did you see in the post-Katrina world and with FEMA? Are there any sort of opportunities that investors work there? I'm just kind of curious, like FEMA had all those trailers and then they had mold and, you know, now they're taking them away. And what went on there with investors? Anything?
There was nothing at all. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, everybody was salivating over those homes. Everybody's like, you know, what's going to happen with those homes and thought we're going to get them. They actually, a lot of those got destroyed and or they went to nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
Is where they were earmarked. But I haven't seen or heard of anybody buying any.
You didn't hear
homes.
About that. Yeah, I was just kind of curious. Okay.
I think they destroyed a lot because of mold and different things.
Okay, so keep talking about like analyzing a park. Like optimum size, optimum price, optimum location.
Okay. So size-wise, if it's within 30 miles of your house, it could be any space. No worry whatsoever.
Right, but if it's further away, you want to have some scale to it.
Definitely.
So it's worth it.
And so what you want to do is you want to have at least 60 spaces.
Okay.
And now, that's not set in stone, but at least 60 spaces. And the reason why is because you're going to have a good manager on site. If it's close to you, you can drive by, you could have a mediocre manager. I mean, I always recommend putting a good manager in, but especially long distance, you're going to have a top-notch manager to watch your back, to watch the park. Now, with regards to how much down or how big a park, it really depends upon, you know, if you get seller financing. I know some people, like a school teacher, that bought a $1 million park in Jacksonville, Florida, and she put down $20,000. Of option consideration, she did a lease option. And that's how she created her first mobile home park, because here she's a school teacher.
Did she close the deal yet?
Yeah, she's actually had it for 18 months or 24 months.
Okay, so she exercised her option and bought it.
She has not exercised the option. She probably won't until for another 5 to 8 years until the option is actually fully expired.
Okay, so the caution there is you need to line up your financing and make sure you're in position to close the deal. Otherwise, you could lose really lose out. There's a big danger there, right?
Yeah. And really the risk with the lease option is your option expiring. So the longer you can go out, the less risk you have, because you can always write into it where basically, you know, say it's a 5-year option. You could always say, okay, I get another 5-year option and give them 25,000 option consideration. So I would always write in clauses to really minimize any risk that you have with that option.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you can write into that agreement.
Okay. All right.
And they're minimized.
Okay. So keep going on like optimum deal here.
So optimum deal, I would look at that. I would look at parks that have reduced lot rent. So, for example, I found a deal called River Bend Estates in San Angelo, Texas. The rent was $135. Market rent was $175.
Per pad. Okay.
Now, people say...
That's amazing how cheaply people can live in these. I mean, that's really serving a real market. That's
But the rents go anywhere from, say, $100 I've seen all the way up to roughly $1,000, say, here in California. So there's a huge spread between that. And a lot of people ask, you know, why was it only $135? It was $175 market rent. Well, the owner had not raised rents in 13 years.
That's unbelievable. What do they think? Someone's going to move if you raise the rent $10?
That's exactly what he did.
That's crazy.
And I asked him, I said, how come you haven't raised it? He said, I was afraid that people are going to move on me.
Wow.
And so in 18 months, we raised the rents $40 and not one person moved.
It's $40.
We raised it $40.
That's hardly anything. I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Well, to a lot of people, they're paying $135. It was significant. But over time, we raised $175. They were okay with that.
Yeah. Okay.
I would look at parks that you could do rent increases. The next one I would look at is to look occupancy. If you have some vacancy, if you have 20% vacancy, it would allow you to be able to bring mobile homes in, set them up, and then you'd be able to get all a profit center. You'd be able to get that lot rent that's currently zero. You'd be able to do buy wholesale, sell retail. So you'd be able to buy equity by buying that mobile home, and then also the financing.
So the vacancy really is the opportunity. And you know what I love about this too, Corey, is that unlike being a typical developer, if you had, say, a plot of land that had two houses on a lot and you were allowed to build two more, that's a big deal to build two houses, right? You know, it's expensive, it's permits, it's contractors, it's everything. Whereas a mobile home park that has 20 vacant spaces, like you said, you can add two a year. You can add one a month.
Yeah.
You can do it as fast or as slow as you want.
Definitely.
And that's a very comfortable thing for the investor, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. And the other thing is that even when you have homes in your park that are owned by individuals, a lot of times they need to move.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't sell it to anybody. Numerous stories like this where somebody would go ahead and they'd offer their house at $10,000. No takers. All of a sudden, a couple months later, they come to us and they say, hey, could you buy it for $7,000? We'd say, not interested. Couple months later, $5,000, not interested. We didn't buy them for $2,000 because what happens if they move, they're still responsible for that lot rent. So they're tied into that lot. So we buy it for $2,000, we go ahead and resell it for $10,000. So your very best deals with buying homes are homes in your park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Buying
the houses that are repoed right in your park.
Then it becomes an income stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look at that. Another one that I would look at is mobile home parks that the owner is paying the utilities. Because you can build back the utilities. You can build back water, sewer, trash, gas, and usually electric's already built back.
Are they separately metered?
The water wouldn't be, but what you do is you put a submeter in. It costs about $35 with equipment itself.
Per unit. Per pad. Okay.
And then you just have your maintenance guy, you know, probably it's about $10 for the maintenance guy to put in, $25 for the unit itself.
Okay.
And then you build back water and sewer that way. You can also build back trash, which is roughly $8 to $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there are build back companies that will go ahead and do this billing, but that could be 10% of your expenses that you could pass back onto the tenant.
Right, but isn't that just like what you were talking about, the $40 rent increase? That's just a rent increase.
It's a disguise rent increase.
I understand that, but you know.
But you could do both. In fact, we did both.
Okay.
We build back the utilities, and all the other parks are building back utilities, mm-hmm. so that was equal footing.
Okay.
And then we went ahead and we moved the lot rents from $135 to $175 mm-hmm. because that was market.
So really their rent went up about $80 a month.
No, roughly about $40 and then about $15 or $20 more or less on their utilities.
Depending on their usage.
Yeah, usage.
Okay. So electric in parks is usually separately metered
Is usually separately metered, but water, trash, sewer, and gas is not.
Okay.
Or a lot of times it is, but if the owner is not savvy enough in order to be billing it back, I mean, instantly, as soon as you submeter and bill it back, all of a sudden your equity's blown up because your cash flow is blown up.
Right. Okay.
In order to do that. But one of the things is that you just want to make sure, and you alluded to this before, you really want to make sure that you're buying a mobile home park in a good area and you have the demand as well. If you're buying somewhere where there's so many mobile home parks and there's not enough industry in order to support those mobile home parks or those mobile homes in the mobile home parks, you're dead in the water. You've just bought somebody else's problem. So you really need to make sure and do your due diligence, make sure you're buying a good mobile home park in a good area that has a lot of demand, is not oversupplied, and also that the infrastructure is very good, because infrastructure can get very expensive if you buy the wrong mobile home park.
Sure. So how do you know if there's enough demand? Say you see a park there and it's got a bunch of vacant spaces.
Okay.
How do you know if you stick some mobile homes on those lots that they're going to lease?
I would do two things. One is I would look at the competitive marketplace. I would look at all of the mobile home parks that surround the area, look at their rent, look at the condition of the mobile home park itself, and also look at their occupancy. Immediately, you'll be able to know whether, I mean, if everybody's 50% in the local area, you know that there's going to be an issue with the local area. But if everybody's 95% and you're 50%, well, you know there's something wrong with the mobile home park itself. Maybe it's the management, maybe it's the condition of the community, maybe it's the location. But that's really what you want to do. Then with regards to the mobile homes, you know, if you bring mobile homes in, you want to know if you're going to be able to sell these things or not. So what you want to do is you want to get a cell phone of that local area. Put in the paper of that mobile home for sale, you know, $500 down, $500 a month, and see what kind of people. You might have a lot of people that might call you, but maybe they're not the right kind of people. So that's what you want to do in your due diligence. Due diligence, you really want to make sure you do a great job in due diligence.
How much time do you get to do that, though? How long can you tie one of these up before you have to?
You could close at 45, 60 days. You could write in there that you want 20 days in due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be like any kind of commercial property.
Right.
You
so you've got to get a cell phone, place ads, where Craigslist or...
Where we find most of our customers, we used to spend a lot of money in marketing. We did billboards, we did radio, we did TV, we did flyers, we did bandit signs. But 95% of all of our leads came from 5% of our dollars. What do you think that was?
I don't know.
Thrifty Nickel, Penny Saver.
Yeah, oh, the old-fashioned stuff. Wow. Yeah.
They love that. It's free, mm-hmm. and that is where we get 95% of our leads from.
Okay.
So that's what I would do, and you could easily get a phone in that local community, and that will give you the demand.
Tell us about a couple of the deals you've done real quick.
One that I love, Riverbend Estates. It's a community that's right along a river. And it was 161-space mobile home park. 120 spaces were occupied. I bought it for $1,350,000. And I put 20% down. I got a loan for 80%. Now, the seller, a lot of people think, why would a seller sell this mobile home park? What it was is this gentleman had it for 40 years. He passed away. His two sons inherited it. His two sons started fighting as soon as they got the mobile home park. Within a year, they stopped talking to each other, and then became a quarter-pointed sale. So here I got the mobile home park. The rents were $135. So what was my strategy on this? My strategy was twofold. One was I want to move the lot rents from $135 to $175. So, I mean, huge cash flow when you move that from $135 to $175. Second is I want to increase the occupancy. So I want to bring homes in. And so that's what I did. I brought in roughly about 50 homes, and I increased the appearance of the park. Like, I got rid of any boats or any, you know, people didn't skirt their mobile homes and all that, and really increased the appearance of the park.
Made it look a lot better.
Made it look a lot nicer. And the average tenancy, by the way, at this mobile home park was 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's amazing. So you don't have to worry. You know, you don't have – I mean, these people can't move out overnight.
Right.
You see them Friday, and they're out Monday. That doesn't happen with a mobile home park.
Yeah.
So it makes it really, really nice. And what I did was I bought these homes. I bought them for an average of $11,000. Now, we sold them on an average of $20,000 to $22,000.
Okay. So there's your Lonnie deal part.
So there's my Lonnie deal part. Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to talk about your banker part in a minute.
Yeah. We charge 13 to 14% interest.
Okay.
Depending upon the tenant.
And what type of loan is it? Are you amortizing it? Is it 15 years long? What?
Yeah. We're amortizing. What it is we...
And is the mobile home structure under the DMV... in that state, or is it a piece of real estate? I know there are two ways it can be considered.
Yeah, like in Florida, it acts just like as if it's a car. Uh-huh. In Texas, even though it's personal property, it acts as if it's like a regular home.
And in California, I believe it can be either way or
I
something.
I think so. I'm not sure about California.
Okay.
And then also is that we added a late fee structure. This gentleman, what he did was, the previous owner, he would charge $5 for the month if the person was late. So on the 5th of the month, if people are late, they could be late all month, and it's only $5. We implemented where it's $25 on the 5th of the month, and it's $5 a day, each day after, until they pay it in full.
What about the laws on this stuff? Do you have a regulatory climate that doesn't let you do stuff like that in a lot of places?
In most states, you're not up against that. But the other thing is that mobile home parks are such a niche. Nobody has their arms around mobile home parks.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the regulators.
In terms of regulators, everything along those lines.
Okay.
I mean, it makes it more difficult, I think, that way. But we're trying to incentivize people to honor their commitment of when the rent's due, because we also have our commitments.
Of course.
In order to do that. So that was River Bend. What I did was I refinanced. So I bought it for $1,350,000. I refinanced in 2006 for $1,500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I refinanced it for all my money that I had in it plus $150,000. So I refinanced for more than I bought it for. Now, did I put $150,000 into my pocket? No, because I was buying homes at the time in order to fill that. And what I got was I got a conduit loan on it for a 30-year fixed.
Tell everybody what a conduit loan is.
A conduit loan is basically it's a long-term loan. You know, it's sold off into the secondary markets.
And these aren't really around right now.
But, yeah.
They'll be back someday because everybody in the U.S. has a short memory. But go ahead.
You know, with this kind of loan, you could have done a national the same thing where you put 6.1%, 6.2% financing back, then a 10-year balloon and a 30-year fixed rate. And so it worked out very, very well. So how does it look, you know, for us, based upon a 9 cap rate, the park is worth 2.5. So I increased the equity about $1.15 million. How did I do that? I raised the rents, and I increased occupancy. And that's all I did.
Yeah.
And it was very simple. This park has not taken a lot of my energy or time whatsoever. The homes that I bought roughly about 45 homes. You know, that retail value today is about $1.1 million. So I've added about another $550,000 of equity by buying those homes. So you can see how you can build cash flow and equity, and the numbers are huge. Like, I mean, if I did with a fourplex, you could buy a fourplex in Orange County for $1 million.
Yeah.
I bought this park for $1.3 million.
Well, you'd be lucky if you could buy a fourplex in Orange County for $1 million. I mean, that wouldn't be in a real nice area, but
yeah, definitely.
It could be done, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But so with this park, you know, as it stands today, our park, it's $33,800 what we bring in every single month in this park. $33,800. I clear, you know, roughly about $10,000 of that. So this park is just enormous with regards to what that looks like. In addition, every $10 rent increase that I do in this park, every year we do a $10 rent increase. That brings $193,200 of equity.
Okay, so a rent increase on a lot rent of $175,
yeah.
So $10 is 6% annually probably, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So right. It's just huge compared to like when you look at those numbers, when you have 161 spaces versus a fourplex, four spaces, you can see the numbers. That's why I love mobile home parks so much, because it's all about the numbers game. Mm-hmm. You make small little tweaks and it just makes the numbers huge.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
It's enormous at what happens. And then really the other thing is that it's an easy to manage park. I mean, we have one full-time manager managing two mobile home parks within a mile of each other. The parks combined have 400 spaces, and I have 200 homes.
And that manager is like a full-time employee?
Full-time employee, yeah.
Okay.
And they spend half the time in one park and half the time in the other park.
Okay.
So it works out very well. The other thing is that you don't really have much maintenance either, because what happens is you're only responsible for the common areas and you're responsible for the infrastructure up to the point of connection. So on their lot, the point of connection is where the shutoff is. From that point all the way into their home, they're responsible.
Yeah, right.
So you don't have to worry about, you know, electrical,
toilets,
plumbing, mold,
garbage disposals, all that stuff.
Right, it's all, you know, yesteryear.
Unless it's your home. I mean, the other way is, besides be the banker, I suppose you could put your own home on there and rent the whole thing as a package. But
you
the better way to do it is to sell the home,
definitely.
Rent the pad. And then you don't have many maintenance headaches, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And what happens when you sell on a lease option, if we were to rent a home, people don't take care of it. If we sell it on a lease option,
they feel like the owner, and it's amazing.
We hardly ever get a home back that's in bad condition.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to rent them, we would get them all day long.
Right.
It's just more the mentality of the people.
Sure. Okay.
So are you excited yet?
Yeah, very excited. It's great. I think this is a great graduation from the sort of the residential side of the business, because, you know, residential has been such a proven thing. It works so well, but it's definitely a slower road.
Yep.
It's a very proven road. You know, it's worked for tens of millions of people. There's no question about it. But you can use a lot more creativity here, which is, I kind of think it's good and bad for people, Corey, because people need to pay a little more attention to this.
Yeah.
But they can definitely add value to it. They
got
to be a little more creative. They can't just hire a property manager and sit back and do nothing. Like if they buy, you know, a few fourplexes, they can do that. You know, it's all very standardized. Mm. All the customs are very defined, clearly. But here you can add value. If you go source some cheap houses and put them on the pads, you can really make some big money adding some big value here.
Definitely. One of the things I like about the mobile home and self-storage is that I have one manager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I have this one manager, 400 spaces, 200 mobile homes. They're an employee of mine.
Right.
I have a number of rental homes in different parts of the country. And sometimes they have a mind of their own.
Yeah, right.
I'm a number.
Managers, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a number, ain't that? And it's and I feel like sometimes I just don't have the control, like where I like having control and I be able to control my destiny.
Right.
But again, single families are awesome. I mean, I have them. They're great.
Yeah.
I just can't see the big appreciation. And I can't have the effect like I can with mobile home parks where I'm able to increase lot rents. I'm able to maybe do away with some utilities by passing them back on to the resident, bring in mobile home parks, setting them up.
Right. There's more creativity, no question.
And there's a lot more added value. Yeah, and a lot more different options in order to be able to do that.
Sure, sure. Now, one thing I think we should say going back into adding value,
sure.
Because you talked about throughout the interview today about how you increased rents and build back utilities and so forth and increased income, and that added maybe $250,000 in value to a park that you owned.
Mm.
Okay. One of the things we should say is that you may not be able to realize that because the financing is so tight. So you can't really refinance it now, can you?
Yeah.
But the value is there, and ultimately when the lending comes back,
yeah.
You can pull it out in a refinance, right?
Definitely, yeah. You could definitely do that. And the one thing is that with mobile home parks, when the stick-built market was getting very, very hot and the financing was cheap and easy to get, we saw a lot of our good residents move out of the mobile home park and move them into stick-built homes. Now, a lot of people are coming back from the stick-built back into the manufactured housing communities because that's a very economical way of living for a lot of people. So, you know, with stick-built is having its woes right now, mobile home park industry, like our mobile home parks, we're selling a lot of homes.
Because you're at the bottom of the market, at the bare necessity housing. Yeah.
Yeah, bare necessity. And a lot of people like that, but they were able to move up to stick built for that brief period of time.
Right. You know, I kind of want to ask you about that just on a societal level here.
Sure.
What do you see going on out there? I see the American population getting quite a bit poorer. I think Washington and Wall Street have kind of colluded to make people poorer, and I think it's really too bad. I also think it's a sort of a symptom of the fact that during the sort of Alan Greenspan credit bubble, Americans were maybe never really as rich as they thought they were either.
You know?
It seems as though there's a good future for bare necessity housing.
Mm.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think a lot of people, even if they're making the same salary that they were making, you know, a year, 2-3 years ago, with always increased taxes, like, you know, our sales tax.
Oh, my gosh, always taxes
are just killing us. You know, it's amazing.
Right.
So they are getting poorer.
And the decreasing value of our dollar, which will come in a couple of years, that'll be pretty severe too. Yeah. You know, the one thing I say when people ask me, well, Jason, you know, you've become sort of pretty pessimistic about the economy. And, you know, I have. I moved from optimist to opportunist.
Yeah.
Will there be someone to rent my house or my mobile home or anything? And I always say, yes, there will. But if you had a conversation with that tenant, they will tell you a story about how years ago, they used to live in a much nicer home. There's a market. It's just what step on the stairs is the person? And I say people are moving down the steps right now.
Definitely.
So your tenant might be renting the house you bought from us or the fourplex you bought from us for $1,200 a month, but years ago, they lived in a place that was twice the size, in a nicer area. There's always a demand for every level, pretty much. It's just that the person being able to afford that keeps changing.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And really with us, our competition is not the stick-built market. Our competition is the apartment market.
Yeah, so and the low-end apartment market probably too.
And so, for example, like in San Angelo, Texas, they average two or three bedrooms between $550 and $650.
So it costs $180 a month to rent your pad.
Yeah.
And plus utilities, let's just assume that's equal in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just call it a wash. What's it cost to own the mobile home? Say they bought one from you and you're the banker.
Yeah.
How much are they paying you per month?
You know what we do is we match exactly where we need to be so we back into our payment. And that's how we amortize everything. So if a two-bedroom is $550, we'll give them a three-bedroom for about $25 less. So $525 is what their monthly payment is. And how we back into that number is we have $180 lot rent and then their insurance and taxes, we impound those and say that's, you know, roughly $75. The remaining is their mortgage payment or their lease payment. And then what happens if they make their lease payment every single month for, say, it's 10 years for 120 months, they get the home.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we sell it is that they can pay rent and live next to people above, below, next to each other. They have rent increase that come. They have all those different things that happen. Or they could buy a mobile home on a lease option, make all their payments, and then basically they'll have the home. So they have an investment.
Right.
versus just rent that's going out the door.
Sure, sure.
And also they have some land. They have, you know, it's more of a community versus just a rental apartment building.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing they always lose in the mobile home, though, is the tenant, is they never get a garage or a carport. Maybe a carport occasionally.
Sometimes they do, and they can even bring them in if they want. We allow them to have, you know, like a carport or something. So it depends upon the mobile home park. Mm-hmm. Some of them very nice, and some of them, you know, very scale back.
And a lot of the apartments will have carports.
Yeah.
Some will even have garages.
Yeah.
Corey, I think the one thing that we didn't talk about yet is you got a lot of accounting going on here. Do you have like a whole team of bookkeepers that are doing all of this stuff? I mean, yeah, there's a lot to keep track of here.
I have one person, a part-time bookkeeper for all the properties.
You got to be kidding.
No, it's very easy. We use a program called Rent Manager.
Uh-huh.
And so most of our properties, we don't even have the person paying our manager. What they do is we give them a deposit slip for their own individual lot.
I would kind of assume a lot of your rents are collected in cash, no?
They were prior to us buying the facility and then our mobile home park.
I would be concerned about manager fraud there.
Definitely obviously. That. So before we went to the deposit program with the local bank, they had to do a money order cashier's check or a personal check. And then if we got a bad personal check, it could only be money order cashier's check. But what we do now with the local bank is we actually have individualized deposit slips for each one of the tenants. And they're responsible by the 5th of the month to come in and deposit into the local bank, which is Wells Fargo there. So our manager doesn't even touch the rent check because we found is
that's a lot, good.
Because we found is a lot of times they'll come in and they'll want to talk for a half hour or they have
and
this
they waste
problem,
the
that problem.
Time, yeah.
And our manager. So the most efficient model is for them to do a deposit program. Also, we hardly ever get any bad checks.
You know, I got to just comment on that talk for an hour thing. That's one of the things I keep thinking about my own business. If I just like got rid of my office and didn't have everybody congregating together, all this talking stuff, like people come in and visit us, and it's like, you know, I love to see them, and I love people, and it's all great, but, you know, they're chatting with my staff for all this time, and I'm thinking, this is costing me so much money, I need that person doing stuff, you know? Yeah, so it's the same
it's
thing
amazing.
With your manager, you know?
Yeah, definitely, so much more efficient model for us, and also we don't have as many bad checks either, because people are very scared to give a check that they know is going to be hot, or a bad check, give it into a bank, they feel like
they feel like they're walking into the real place.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, to do that.
That's good. Do you want to tell us about some of your students? We kind of touched on this suggestion here of, you know, how to value a mobile home park, right? You want to just tell us about a couple of your students?
Let me give you a couple.
I mean, you talked about the school teacher.
Yeah, let me give you a couple of stories real quick. One is Jamie Richardson, school teacher, second grade school teacher, amazing, amazing person. Her dad wanted her to get into real estate, told her about mobile homes, mobile home parks. She's like, Dad, you're crazy. You know, you've gone off the deep end. There's no way. And so she actually came to one of our events that we had down in Florida. She was instantly said, this is the way to do it. She had very little money to do it. And so she joined a local RIA club down there, Jacksonville RIA. And she let everybody know in the RIA that she was interested in a mobile home park. And one day a guy came in and said, hey, I'm looking for a manager for a mobile home park. She said, hey, would you be interested in selling it? He said, possibly. They started talking. They came up with a lease option. She put down $20,000 in order for the option consideration and leased it from him every single month. And then she has gone on. It's been about 18 months now. She's already created a cash flow of $8,000 a month, and her equity is over $400,000.
You know, that's an interesting story because my ex-girlfriend from several years back, her parents made a fortune owning mobile home parks. Her father was a pilot for Delta Airlines.
Okay.
And on the side, he just, over the years, just was buying up some mobile home parks in many states.
Yeah.
And wow, they had this gorgeous home in Palos Verdes Estates. Just, I mean, this land that that home was on was just worth $1 zillion. I mean, it was an incredible, one-of-a-kind like lot, you know. Probably should have married her, you know.
Yeah.
That wouldn't even be working.
Well, and you know, as you bring a good point, is that with these mobile home parks, they're large, massive land. And the older that they are, they're usually very well situated geographically. Is at some point, the highest, best use is not going to be as a mobile home park. It's going to be as a redevelopment.
One of our clients bought an apartment building in Kansas City, you know, kind of an old apartment building, but, you know, very good cash flow, an excellent investment. And it wasn't real big. It was just 33 units, I believe. And the real opportunity there ultimately was, yeah, you'll do well with the investment, but it's in the middle in downtown in this big redevelopment area.
Yeah.
And you just know that land is being eyed by some developer who wants to do something big and combine a couple of lots and do what they call an assemblage and do something big there, right?
And it's eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, because
they're going to need that
masses.
One piece to make their deal work and pay a real premium on it.
Definitely. Yeah. It's just amazing what's going to happen. Second story is a lot of people think, oh, you know, I'm here in California and how can I do it in Texas? Second story is a Scott and Travis man. Travis lives in Australia. Travis finds the deals. He searches the internet. He does direct mail pieces. He does all that from Australia.
To Texas,
all right. And to different places. What happens to these two?
We have Australian listeners and New Zealanders who
Perfect.
Are listening probably to the show right now. So.
Yeah, definitely. And Scott is in the military, and he's special forces. You know, he's been all over the world in special forces. So these two brothers, when they're growing up, their parents had one mobile home park. And they thought, we do not want to work for anybody. We want to continue buying mobile home parks. And so they started buying their mobile home parks. And they have already bought two mobile home parks, and the equity that they have realized is enormous. I think it's like over $1 million already. And they're creating huge cash flow, but they're doing it 10,000 miles away. Travis does all management. He finds the mobile home parks, does everything from Australia. His brother does all the due diligence and does the site visits. And so if two brothers can do it from 10,000 miles away, you know, any of us can do it.
Hey, one more thing.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned Texas in that one.
Okay.
And I want to ask you the question that I bet a lot of people are thinking.
Okay.
Jason, you're talking about these mobile home parks, and every time Oklahoma or some areas of Texas, a tornado rolls through, look what happens. It's a bunch of matchsticks.
Yeah.
What do you say about that?
You know, I mean, I've had a number of parks in Texas here for quite some time, and we have not had anything with regards to tornadoes, all that. These mobile homes, they're adhered to the ground pretty well. We use either rock anchors or auger anchors. They're all done by straps. I mean, adhere to the ground. Now, if serious enough tornado is going to come along, it's definitely going to take the home and everything with it, including houses and, you know, buildings and all that stuff. But I have not encountered that whatsoever. But, you know, potentially, you know, if you're in maybe Kansas or something in a real high tornado area, or even, say, in Miami. I mean, I know a couple of parks got wiped out in Miami back, you know, quite some time ago. But I have not heard or seen the stories, you know, with that.
So it's not affected you in any big way.
It hasn't. And you can also, you know, and that's what insurance covers as well. Insurance covers loss of income and covers, you know, the structure themselves. It covers all that. So, you know, you still have insurance.
Okay, for your own properties, but for the other residents.
For the other residents or anything like that, what they would do. Well,
they have their own insurance policy, hopefully.
Yeah, the only thing is we also have insurance to guard against the income.
Right, yeah,
so
loss of income.
Loss of income, they do that.
Okay.
So,
how much does your insurance cost?
You know, not very expensive. I think for like 150-space park, our insurance is roughly about $4,000 to $5,000 a year on the land.
Right.
And on the homes themselves, roughly.
And the land is the loss of income part on the loss of income from the pads.
And liability.
Okay.
Yeah, and comprehensive liability. And then on the homes themselves, roughly about $200 a year, rather.
For the home.
For
okay,
the home.
All right.
But the tenant is paying that policy. We're just collecting the income, and we get umbrella policy on all the homes.
The tenant who is lease optioning
Correct.
From you.
Yeah,
okay.
To do that. So now the third story, and a pretty exciting story, is Alexander Byrne Hannock. Now, Byrne actually has been an investor of real estate for a long, long time, has followed one of the big gurus out there, Jack Miller. And his son said to him, said, Dad, I want to start investing in real estate. So he thought, talked to Jack, and Jack said, you know, you might want to get him started in mobile homes. So he came to our boot camp last year. He was a 16-year-old student. And so what his dad did was his dad helped him buy some parcel of land. I think they're $1,000, $2,000. And then he basically has his son make a payment on every single month. His son had saved up some money and bought his first double wide, put on the space, went ahead and did a lease option, got the money, the down payment, used that to buy a second house. And now I think Alexander's got roughly five mobile homes on five different individual spaces that they call sort of land home packages because it's not in a big mobile home park. The payment is roughly getting between $710 and $720 a month. So here is a sophomore in high school doing one deal at a time. He's already got five deals under his belt. And what we call him a high school student by day, mobile home mogul by night.
You know, just when I thought I was ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a great story.
It's
yeah.
amazing. And he's already created, I think, roughly about $40,000, $50,000 of equity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already got a cash flow of about $1,500 a month. So he's already making $18,000 a year. And he's a sophomore in high school.
That's incredible.
And, you know, you can do it at any age, any kind of background. That's what's good about mobile homes. You could start with mobile home park. You could start with mobile homes. You could do a lot of different things.
Right. There are a lot of levels to this.
And the sky is the limit.
So, Corey, this is all great stuff. Anything you'd like to wrap up with just so people kind of get the overview statement here?
if I were somebody as an investor, I would look at mobile homes and mobile home parks. Don't let the stigma turn you away, because there's an amazing amount of money.
Corey, everyone always wanted to own a few double wides.
Yeah, definitely. But it's amazing. It's amazing how much money is created. It's really, it's in your own hands, your destiny, because there's so many profit centers that you can go ahead and incorporate in a mobile home park in order to achieve your dreams.
Good stuff. Corey, thank you so much for the invaluable information. We really appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks, Jason.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.